for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sexcent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 1st, 2001. First service, the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Clement Humbard is the minister of the morning.
He's a lover of the word, and he certainly knows how to expound on it. And if you've not heard him in the past, you'll be back to hear him again. Come on, Brother Clement. Brother Clement Humbard.
Thank you, Bob. Would you please stand with me today, and I want you to sing one more chorus. If you really love the Lord, does anyone love the Lord? You know, it's an odd thing that God would command us. In the human, you can't command love, but God commands it. And in Titus, it shows it's a teaching process. It said the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. And the Bible shows us that, loving is a learning phenomenon. We can learn to love. And when you become love, if you've sit under my ministry at all, I showed you that you can become peace, that you can become love. You have no problem with it. You just love everybody because you are love. Well, that's... Now, if you really love the Lord, I want you to lift your hand. Because the Bible said to lift holy hands without wrath, without doubting. And I want you to lift your hand, pledging allegiance, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, where that started, as I understand from the Word of God, where that started was in olden times, it was a gesture of victory. Lifting the hand or lifting the staff to trust in Almighty God, you're declaring victory. And that's what we're doing. We're honoring Him and we're pledging allegiance to Him and we are giving praise and adoration from our lips. Lift your hand and sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. A flat. Oh, Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. And we used to always sing, I'll never forsake Him. Let's sing it. I'll never forsake Him. I'll never forsake Him. I'll never forsake Him. Because He first loved Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, Jesus is the same. Blessed be the name of the Lord, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Lord, we do bless that holy name. We lift holy hands, we trust, without wrath and without doubting. Praise be unto God. Lord, from our heart, we love You and we want to love You more. Increase our capacity to comprehend. the magnitude of God's love, the height, the breadth, and the depth of that love of God, I pray. I humbly ask that you'll bless thy word as it goes forth. We claim the promise it will not return void, but it'll accomplish that wherein it is sent. May it find a lodging place in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds and quicken us to life, an abundant life, and to power and to accomplishment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I had fully planned to speak this morning on the person that God uses. Taking the text from Ezekiel, God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but I found none. It's a wonderful thought. I preached it in Paraguay only. I preached it once, and it was in Paraguay a few years ago in a hospital early at morning at 7 a.m., and we thought there'd be a handful of Christians there, but the word got out among all the doctors and the nurses and the missionaries, and we had a packed chapel that morning, and God really blessed us. Since coming here this morning, and I felt a little disturbed in the spirit, and sometimes we know exactly, I say we, I don't mean just me, but we know exactly what God wants in the message to bring forth. Sometimes there's something else working. Then sometimes God changes the message. Sometimes, and I've had one of my, I guess, best sermons, if you'd classify them, in the first 10 that God gave me instantly like this. And I walked right in the pulpit in 3 or 4 minutes, and it was an hour telecast, too, being telecast. And part of those went across the nation, but God gave me a complete new sermon in detail. I just got up and preached it. But I believe that I can hold that message for another time, another hour, the person that God uses, and you would be amazed from God's Word, what God's Word says about this subject. For example, a man that's alive, a person that's alive, a person that's dead, and a broken person, a weeping person, so forth. But I have something different this morning, and I want you to go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. While you're turning there, you remember in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the shrine of the scrolls, there is the book of Isaiah complete from the Qumran scrolls, the book of Isaiah, and this is in the book of Isaiah in the original. Look at this. Isaiah 53rd chapter. Who hath believed our report? I love this prophet Isaiah. But he said, I'm going to tell you something now. We're going to put it in modern street language. I'm going to tell you something now that nobody's going to believe. Whose report are we going to believe? The Bible said, I believe in Exodus 23rd chapter, it said, thou shalt not bear an evil report. And you know the ninth commandment didn't say thou shalt not lie. That is taught in God's Word too. But it said thou shalt not bear false witness. You don't have to create it. Just bear it. So no wonder the Bible said speak evil of no one, because if I speak evil of someone and I heard thus and thus, you know, even in a court of law, I could stand up and say, well, I hear that so-and-so judge says, dismiss, get that witness off the stand. We want some first-hand evidence. So, it said, now, who's going to believe our report? We have so many reports coming to us. Not only what we hear, but what we feel and what we think in a 24-hour period. Just think about it. I read a very interesting article that showed at the turn of the century the impressions that people had in a 24-hour period. It was unbelievable. Just a handful. And today, it's thousands of things that come. And every thought produces an emotion in your body. That's why the Bible said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are honest and of good report, think on these things, and the Lord God of peace will be with you. Now, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Anytime it's the hand of God, and especially the arm of God, it's God manifesting himself in wonderful delivering power. He said, now, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. That is the bruised, broken Savior in his passion. All right, in verse 3, this is prophesied, I believe, about 690 years before Christ came upon the scene. And it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Then it said, truly, surely, truly, truly. In other words, I'm telling you the truth when I say this, Isaiah said. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and wounded. Now, in Exodus, the third chapter, God said this in verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Look at this. He's seen the affliction. He's heard their cry. And he said, I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. We were singing a chorus earlier today, come down, rain upon us, Holy Spirit of God, with God's divine presence. This is an hour that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs a little more than just praise and song and dance. We need Almighty God to come down among us in Shekinah glory and deliver us. Glenn and I, about sunset, were standing there looking north last evening, and we briefly were discussing the body of Christ and what is happening this day and time, and how God wakes us up at night, and how it's sleeplessness because America is not visited by real Holy Ghost revival at all. In my day, when I was a young man, you'd see a revival in a place even like Houston, Texas, and bars would close, liquor saloons would close. All kind of things that happened. When Mordecai Ham preached in around World War I in Houston, Texas, the courts had to finally shut down. The judge didn't have anything to do. This is the truth. In a huge metropolitan city, all kind of things are happening. Thousands swept in the kingdom of God. But I want to stay pretty closely to what God's laid upon my heart. It almost sounds like that the church is still in Egypt. Now, I know I'm just stepping on thin ice here. But we're supposed to be out of Egypt. The world out of us and us out of the world. And I guess we are. But a lot of people think if you have a little emotional experience, song and dance, or fall out under the power, or you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you speak in tongues, or you have some kind of vision, that's it. But I preached along this line the last two or three weeks about that daily process of spiritual growth and what it takes to see us through. But you'd almost think that we are not in the promised land, in the spiritual land. Now, the Bible said that these things are written in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. It talks about the children of Israel and other places. It says these are written for our example. And under law, which is God greater, under law or under grace. But listen, the Bible said there wasn't a feeble one among them. Long as they obeyed God, every one of them were healed. That was under law. Now, with all of our good intentions and all the rest, the word salvation, he come to seek and save that which is lost and save his people from their sin. That word salvation means wholeness. It cannot be divided up like we divide it up today. We think, well, God has saved me, and that's wonderful. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved going to heaven. But the rest of our life is not made whole. It almost sounds like the church is back in Egypt. Because the church is crying out unto God. The church is under taskmasters. They're a slave to situations, circumstances they usually cannot control. And they cry out day and night unto God. And God said, I've seen their affliction, and I've heard their cry, and I've seen their tears. I'll tell you, neighbor, it almost sounds like the church is still back in Egyptian bondage and we haven't been delivered yet. Thank you for all the amens. This is heartbreaking. We should be lights in this world. Just by our presence, people ought to want God. They ought to sense. Not some kind of mysticism, but the presence of God upon our life. All of us have these battles and struggles. But I fear that we've almost slipped into the popular denominational doctrine that crept in around the turn of the century, and it's got stronger and stronger and stronger, and that is, our soul is saved. But boy, we just have to struggle with confused mind, a sick, diseased body, and ask God for grace and help to just make it in, just make it through. You know, I remember in my dad's old church, people would get up and testify like this. They'd say, thank God for His grace, He saved me. That's wonderful. Thank God He's led me. Thank God He saved my children. That's wonderful. Then they'd always say this, and then God's grace, and you've heard it in the Baptist churches, and when I press a dying pillow, or when I'm lying on my deathbed, I know that there'll be dying grace for me when I die. Listen, never mind about the dying grace. You and I need living grace today.
Amen.
We need overcoming grace of God. Now let's look into God's Word here. Now, I feel that God is doing something in this place and it has nothing to do with me. I think God's going to release His healing here today. Some of you quote-unquote spiritual ones may be way ahead of me. You may be even knowing what God is doing. But I will preach God's Word and He'll honor it. It said, surely, truly, truly, truly. And I'm telling you something that is a fact. Surely He hath borne our griefs. That is in verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs. This word griefs is C-H-O-L-I. It's one of the strongest words you can use in the original language for sickness and disease. It said that the Lord Jesus Christ hath borne our sickness and disease. It's unfortunate that the translators dodge this or go around it. But great scholarship, even from ancient times and from medieval times, have known what this meant. And it said, surely He hath borne our sickness and our disease. Get a Strong's Concordance today, a Young's Concordance, if you're not familiar with this Scripture, and you'll see that this preacher is telling you the truth. It said that, surely He hath borne. N-A-S-A, that's the same term, lift off, the space agency uses, N-A-S-A. He has borne our griefs. I'm going to make a statement here and then I'm going to have to prove it. Healing is in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I speak of atonement, I'm speaking of shed or poured out blood. The only blood that God the Father really recognizes in type and antitype is the blood of His only begotten Son, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is incorruptible blood. That blood is alive right now at the mercy seat of God in heaven.
Amen.
It's still alive. It's never corrupted. That's what the Scriptures say. And in Hebrews it said that Christ went through the heavens and presented His own blood on the mercy seat of God. That incorruptible blood. Everything you get from God is in the atonement. Holy Ghost conviction is in the atonement. The new birth is in the atonement. The Christian life is in the atonement. All of the glories of the hereafter, heaven or whatever, in the atonement. Everything you get's in the atonement. Now it's said here that surely he hath borne. N-A-S-A is the original word. Now if you look down in verse 12, at the last part of the verse it said, he bore the sin of many. In the original language, it's the same word used again. He, N-A-S-A, the sin of many. Did he bear our sins? Then the same Hebrew verb said that he bare our C-H-O-L-I, our sickness and disease, that is translated in King James and says griefs. The same word, God's Holy Spirit, the inspired word of God, said that he bare my sins. How many believe your sins are forgiven? Well, then it said he bare your sickness. How many believe it? All right. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Let's go ahead. And carried our sorrows. Sorrows is M-A-K-O-B. Probably the strongest word in the Hebrew that you could use for physical pain. You can't explain this away now. Say, well, who forgiveth all of our iniquities? Psalm said 103. Who forgiveth all our diseases? Our soul sick, our sin sick disease. I've heard preachers do that. But they are betraying the trust God's placed in them. They're not true to God's divine word. It said he carried our sorrows, M-A-K-O-B, our physical pain. How many, honestly, you've had some kind of pain in your body in the last 24 hours? Lift your hand with me. What are we doing carrying? Christ carried it. What are we doing carrying? Are we running around trying to make atonement for our sins? No. We have faith. We believe. We trust Him. We give Him our sins and He gives forgiveness. We give Him our sickness and disease and He gives us health and life and strength. Is this Bible teaching or not? I think Satan, and I'll get into that, I think Satan is robbing us today. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming me. I'm just saying, I believe we're in a low estate and God has something higher for us. I believe God has something better for us. He said, carried, our M-A-K-O-B, our physical pain. That word carried is S-A-B-A-L. Now, go down into verse 11, the last part of the verse. For he shall bear their iniquities. See, if you're going to shoot one of those bears with unbelief, you've got to shoot both of them. If you don't believe that Christ bare our sickness, then you, because the Holy Spirit said both of them, and here it is. You have to take a double-barrel shotgun. You've got to blow up both of them out of the water. Did he bear one? Did he bear the other? Did he bear them both? The Bible, the inspired Word of God, said that he bare absolutely both of them. Now, I'm going to read this, and this cannot be denied. Scholarship cannot deny this. They might say, well, they'll say, yes, that's what the language says, but I don't agree to that. But here's exactly what it said. Truly, I'm telling you the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ hath borne our sickness and disease, and he hath borne all of our physical pain. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was, or for our peace, or of, was upon him. And with his stripes, what's it say? With his stripes, we are going to be healed. Now, when Christ said, it is finished upon Calvary, every real New Testament believer believes that. Now, we're not finished, but he's finished. I believe in the finished work of Calvary. But you and I are still on the road. We're not quite finished yet. God's still working on us, right? But we are healed. Now, see, quit trying to get your healing. Are you trying to get your salvation? See, it's not in the doing, man's doing, or even God's doing. It's in being who God is and who we are in Christ. Yes. It's not in the works of God, it's in the ways of God. How many are a member in the body of Christ? The Bible said in Ephesians and also in Colossians, we are, and we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and we are a member in the body of Christ. Now, when Christ appeared 40 days and nights to His own after He conquered death, hell, and the grave, did He have a withered arm? Did He have a crippled ankle? Did He have a bent over back? He said, oh, joy, all power now is delivered unto me. Go and teach all nations. What we teaching them? Well, if they can be saved by God's grace, but they've just got to struggle along and believe God and ask God for mercy to put up with all of their afflictions and all their sickness and all their disease. I'll tell you, folks, read God's Word for yourself. It looks like the church is still down in Egypt, crying unto God for all of our tormentors. But here is the Word of God, and in 2 Peter 2:24, it says, by His stripes ye were healed. Now, we're not stretching imagination. You've heard ministers say, you've been saved for 2,000 years. That's true. God doesn't send His Son on the cross again every time a sinner gets saved. They don't have to drive nails through His hand again. They don't have to stick a sword, a spear in His side, and blood and water will gush out. Because that's accomplished 2,000 years ago. Do you believe it? But you're not saved till you receive what's already... You're already saved. See, tell a sinner he can find a Savior and he'll have trouble if he figures that thing out with his natural mind. But tell him he has a Savior. He already has a Savior. He doesn't have to find Him. He's already got a Savior. Just believe upon Him. Receive Him. Not accept Him. Accept Him is mental acceptance, but receive Him. So I guess in healing, it's mostly mental acceptance with us. We receive Christ as Savior. But the New Testament did not divide the word Zoe, translated life. It's not divided for spiritual life and physical life. It's all the same. That's why Jesus, when He walked upon this earth, said, wilt thou be made what? Well, today we'd say, now, sister, would you give your heart to the Lord Jesus? Then you come and join our prayer group, and then 3 or 4 months, we're going to pray that God will heal your body when you understand everything. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. He said to His own, and part of that commission is still good today, He said, go and heal the sick. Cast out devils. Then say, the kingdom of God is nigh thee. We hear great reports. And look what happened in T.L. Osborne's ministry. Failed on the missionary field. Complete failure. And I was there in that auditorium in Portland, Oregon, when T.L. Osborne was up many years ago, and Daisy were sitting in the balcony, and Rex and I were sitting there on the platform, and God's Spirit spoke to T.L. and said, yes, everything was shambles and a failure out on the missionary field, but you go this way. You heal. Say, I have a God that's a miracle working God, and He's going to heal you. Then I'm going to tell you more about Him, and you're going to get saved. And he went back, and sometimes there's 100,000, 200,000 people, crutches just stacked up in every way, blind eyes open, little children all twisted and never taken a step and scoot around on the ground, was running all over the platform, screaming and dancing and leaping for joy. Healing is in the atonement. It's already paid for. It's already purchased. Bible said He purchased it with His precious blood. Now let me remind you of something else. Sickness and disease is not of God. Well, Brother Humbert, God gave me this great affliction to humble me and make me more like Jesus. Well, if that works, let's inject everybody with sickness and disease and break a lot of legs and hips today so everybody become more like Jesus. Doesn't hold water, does it? Well, God made me sick. Well, why are you taking those pills and running to the doctor to try to get well? If God made you sick, now if I really believe that God put something on me sick, I'd say, Lord, your will be done. And I wouldn't try to get well. I wouldn't go and blow that money with a doctor and wait in a waiting room 2 or 3 hours and all the rest. See, a lot of this stuff, we're inconsistent, aren't we? We're really inconsistent. Now, I have a love for God, and I have a love for the members of the body of Christ. And I have a love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm saying that some way, somehow, we're living below our privilege in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say you are. I said we are. We are. Now, sickness, disease, when there was no sin, there was no sickness originally. And we inherited sickness, disease, and death, physical death, because of sin. Is that right? Now, the Bible said that, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about healing all that were what? Oppressed. Oppressed by God? No. If God the Father was putting it on them and Jesus Christ the Son's taking it all, then they're fighting each other. But He said, I come to do the Father's will. And He said, everything I do is in the Father's will, and I only do what He tells me to do, and I only say what He tells me to say. Now, God the Father wasn't working against Jesus Christ the Son. So, He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Let's take this. A little lady was bowed low for 18 years. Jesus didn't say, lady, have faith now, or come and get a prayer card. Come to Benny Hinn's meeting, or come to Clement Humbert's prayer line. No. When Jesus met directly oppression of the devil, didn't have to be any faith involved. He just said, be loosed. You look. Definitely, when it was definitely bound, right out in the open. I don't mean the hidden thing. So, Jesus said, woman, be loose to thy infirmity. He didn't say, now boys, come on, let's get this lady and let's curse all of the bloodline from Adam to him. And Lord, now listen, if it takes that in some cases, I'm for it. But I want to tell you, that ought not to be the normal thing. That's the abnormal.
Amen.
That's the unusual. And if you don't get results other ways, then any way to get the results.
That's right.
He just said, woman, be loose to thy infirmity. They said, why? He healed on the Sabbath day. God's resting. You hear that today. I read a leading publication this week, and I thought, my, I can't believe this. They said, we know that all these signs, wonders, miracles, these healings, they ceased. We don't have them today. That's what he said. That fellow said he ought to been like the black preacher said, that I knows of. That I knows of, yeah. So, that woman's bowed together, and they said, he healed on the Sabbath day. He said, woman, straighten up. She straightened up. Be loosed from thy infirmity. Now, let's get to this. He said, hath not this daughter of Abraham, daughter of faith, whom Satan? Lift your hand and say, Satan, get out of my body. Every muscle, every nerve, every sinew, in Jesus' name be gone. Now, Lord, let the Holy Spirit flow. Say it. And give me life and resurrection and health in Jesus' name. The joy of the Lord. Amen. So who bound that little lady to get? Bound her over? Satan. Wasn't the Lord at all. Wasn't the Lord. So the Bible said Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. That's not the only cause of sickness and disease, of course. But I want to tell you, the Bible shows that Satan is a trespasser. And he throws a cross to hinder. Oh, Brother Humbert, I got the Holy Ghost and Satan can't stop me. He can't. Apostle Paul said, Satan hindered me. Wow. Daniel was hindered by the prince of Persia. Why, if you can't be hindered by the devil when you get the Holy Spirit, well, let's take out a few verses of the Bible, and one would be in Peter. He said, be sober. Act like you got some sense. Be vigilant. Be on your guard. Your adversary, He writes to the church and did say, some of you, a few of you, one or two of you, your adversary is the devil. He writes to every believer and he said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, which is the devil, goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know what that word devour means? Come on, you Bible scholars, help me this morning. Swallow up. You get swallowed up with problems, in-laws, outlaws, swallowed up with financial difficulties, swallowed up with sickness, disease. I've been around people in the last two or three weeks. Every other breath is their doctor, their pills, how many pills, this, that, and the other. Now, you watch any one of us. Bob, if anybody asks how you're doing, best thing to say, well, I've had a little problems, but I'm doing well. Isn't that true?
Right.
Because what happens? When we get self-centered, we're not God-centered.
That's right.
We talk about my pain,
that's right,
my doctor, my operation. If we can't tell these to lift people up right quickly, lift them up. It's like in Russia. I smuggled Bibles to Russia and almost got killed a couple of times during the Cold War. But in Russia, they told me, said, now, when you start getting real funny with the Russians, you better watch. He's white Russians. And I said, oh, why? Is there a Christian? No, he said, that's all. He said, you'll say, dear brother, how are you and your family? He said, you'll be there 2 hours later listening to him. So most of us, when it comes to the oppression of the devil, and we don't say, well, the devil's been oppressing me. He that the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
That's not liberty for me to do my own thing, my own song and dance, or break up a meeting or something else. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the Spirit before that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty for the Spirit to work and do what He wants to work. So Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, if you think, you say, well, I'll tell you, God is chastising me. Bible said, whom He loveth, He chastises. And I'm like Paul. I got a thorn in the flesh. Well, that thorn in the flesh, by the way, you use the Bible to interpret the Bible, that means enemies that make it hard on you. They become a thorn in your side. But Paul said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord doth deliver them from... How many?
All.
Lift your hand and say, all.
All.
In Jesus' name, all.
In Jesus' name, all.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God never said you wouldn't have sickness. He said, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. He never said you wouldn't have trouble, but He said, I'll bring you out of that trouble. He never said you wouldn't have need, but He said, I am the Lord God that supplies all your need. Then He is Lord God Jehovah Rapha.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the original, we don't have the name Lord, and we don't have the name God. We have Elohim, or Elohim. We have Yahweh, or Jehovah. And it's unfortunate that in the English we've added J on it. Jehovah, but it's Jehovah. It's not even Israel. I can't say it right, but it's a Y, Israel. So, here's one of the names, revealed names of God. He has seven compound redemptive names, and the one I'm dwelling on now, we go through all of them. All of them are in the 23rd Psalm. It's beautiful. But this one is Jehovah Rapha. Now, if you don't believe in Jehovah Rapha, then... You don't believe in 1/7 of the redemptive God that has redeemed this world from the curse. Think about it. You said, now, O God, You created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. O God, You're the provider, Jehovah Yireh. I believe that. You're Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. I believe that. But God, You are not Jehovah Rapha. That all died out with the apostles. Did God die when the last apostle died? Was the Bible written to destroy God's power among men? And I'll say God's redemption power. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. And that redemption is by the shed blood and the poured out blood of the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the devil is really angry when you start declaring the power that is in the incorruptible, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That old song we used to sing in revivals is power, power, wonder-working power. We hardly knew what we were singing, but that's it. That the most powerful force in this universe is the love of God. The second thing is the truth of God. The love of God is for a man's will producing good. The truth of God is for a man's mind and reasoning and all producing faith. But the most powerful thing that we can get a hold of, the tangible thing, is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power against every... And that is part of the secret of the name and the power that is in the name of the Lord. It's tied in with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, healing is in the atonement. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Sickness, disease are not of God, but they're from where? Now, there may be certain cases, certain times, where... because of human failure, even because of sin, confess your faults one to James 5:14. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. But Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, neither this man nor his parents sinned that he is born blind. It didn't say that they were never sinned. It said that they committed no sin to cause this blindness. So don't feel like, well, I must be a great sinner. All of us can just search our heart out before God and say, God, look, is there anything hindering? Is anything in the way? Is anything blocking the healing virtue of Christ in my soul, spirit, mind, and body? Then, Lord, reveal it or show it to me. And it might be a little unforgiveness. It might be something else, you know. But God can take care of that kind of thing. Now, how many believe Hebrews 13:8? Don't know what it is? You better know. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can simply say this. We don't serve another Christ. We serve the same Christ. Whatever He did, He's able to do today. Not only able, but He is willing and ready, and He will be tomorrow. The term used there, I believe, in the Greek is huotos, and we get the word automatic from that. Like, you know, automatic gears in a car. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ, just every generation comes up, He's just automatically the same. Everything changes around, but not Him. He's just the same Savior. Now, when Jesus is on this earth, though, what power did He use to bring healing to the multitudes? Jesus performed no miracle, didn't open a blind eye, didn't stop a deaf ear, didn't raise the dead until He was baptized by John the Baptist in Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove, and the voice of the Heavenly Father was heard, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, it said that Jesus left there and went in the power of the Spirit. I want you to emphasize this now. Christ only healed through the same source that every believer is given the power to lay hands on the sick, that they'll recover, or pray the prayer of faith, or exercise faith. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the age and dispensation of the Holy Spirit, right? He said, "I'll never leave you little orphans. I'm going to send a comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit." This is promised several times in the book of John 14 and John 15 and 16. He speaks of the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Holy Spirit will come. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon not particular individuals of house of Levi or tribe of Levi or priest or some special prophet. Is upon all flesh, whosoever will. The power that Jesus used to heal the sick, that power is available in the church to every one of us. Now, if the Holy Spirit of God heals, and the Bible said it does, it's quickened by the Spirit, For example, Romans 8:11 said, if that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will make alive your present mortal body. Quicken it, the physical body, to come alive. Then we claim we're Holy Spirit people. We claim God's presence is with us. We leave a service and say, oh, the Spirit of God was there. Why are we getting shortchanged? The Bible said great multitudes came out at eventide from cities, and it said that Jesus healed them all. Whatever's happening shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be victimized anymore. Every sick person that comes in our midst, and all of us, ought to leave completely healed by the power of God. We don't leave here half saved, do we? But we do leave here half sick. We leave here half forgiven or whole forgiven? Whole. Now, I'm just laying these things out before you, and I pray that God will place some of them on our heart, that this group will start praying, and we will be what God wants us to be, not down in Egypt, but delivered, and not only in the wilderness with a wilderness mentality wandering around and get occasional miracle, but we'll be in the full promised land of God's promises, living where the ideal Christian that is taught in the New Testament, and the Bible said that sickness wouldn't even be named among us. And I believe that in Jesus' name. I believe it's possible. And I believe it's probable. And I believe it can be predicted and prophesied that it's coming. But it's not going to come if we don't acknowledge where we are and what we are and what we can become and where we can go. And that's why I'm trying to stir up your pure mind in remembrance today. Now let's talk about a couple other things before we finish. You getting anything out of this? Now, I know I could have got a rip-roaring inspirational sermon today, but sometimes we ought to stop and weep. Then we ought to see where we've been and what we're doing and why we're doing and how, and a few other things. How many want reality? Life's too short for sham pretense. God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And that word truth there meant reality in reality. Worship God in reality. Now let's talk about faith a moment. You could hardly understand. You think about it. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen performed was on Roman Catholics and sinners. Some of the greatest you've ever seen, if you think back. Let's take even Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. Time and time again, a person with a big, giant iron or steel brace carried it down the aisle and couldn't hardly carry it. Completely set free and not even saved. Oral Roberts said a few years ago, and you know, I ought not to quote other ministers, let them quote themselves, but y'all forgive me. He said, the hardest people, and A.A. Wilson, one of the presbyters of Assembly of God in Kansas City, Missouri a few years ago, there's three presbyters at that time of the Assembly of God. I don't know if it's still organized that way or not, nationally and internationally. But A.A. Wilson was a close friend of mine in Kansas City, Missouri, and he said, Clement, the hardest people to get a miracle of healing is the Pentecostal people. I said, what? As a young minister. We think we know it all and got it all. But here, a Roman Catholic comes in and maybe never, they'll tell you later, well, I was trusting the church salvation. I was never even saved. Now, people get saved in a Roman Catholic church, and some of them are saved, but they get saved in spite of the church, not because of it necessarily. You'll forgive me for that. But anyway, they'll come, they'll sit in an audience like this, and they'll say, my God, that guy's preaching the truth. He said I'd be healed. Maybe I say, well, come up here and I'm going to pray for you. Lay hands on. They come up, or in the seat, they just say, well, I believe that. I believe. And they have a wonderful miracle of healing. Then here's Sister Jo Blow, you know, that just weeps and cries, and she prophesies and all the rest, and she's agonizing day and night, day and night, day and night, trying to get the healing. That's, I'm going to say it again. You're not trying to be saved, are you?
No.
Are you trying to be healed? But you're not waiting to get saved.
No.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
Thank you. Today is the day of salvation. That word salvation means the wholeness, means everything that God has, the whole ball of wax, boy, everything that is in there. But in our mind, we've divided it up. Let's quit trying to be saved. Let's quit trying to get healed. But now this thing of faith. It is true that God has a law of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. This is true. I believe that God's will, though, that most of the time, may I touch you?
Sure.
Most of the time, God would will it this way. Say, this believer here needs healing. And now be careful about pulling everybody else in that God didn't give the burden to.
Right.
You understand what I mean? If God, now if you call me, dear brother, if you call me and you're going to pray for someone, say, Brother Clem, come and join me. I will out of a duty and respect for man, and I'll mean it. But there's different if God laid something deeply on your heart, but you call me, but I don't have that deep empathy and burden for this person, but this man does. You understand? Well, he ought to be the one there. He ought to say, well, excuse me, brother, but I want to join you on this prayer. I'm going to believe God. But now, faith is a wonderful thing. Faith can take me anywhere. Faith can do anything. Faith is just as great as God is great if that faith truly be in God. Now, don't, Lord, forgive me for this. It sounds too much like correction. Don't have faith in your own faith. Faith in your faith. Where is your faith? Yes, it's in Him. It's in Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. In the last days, that men shall depart from the faith. No, from the faith. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. There's only one faith in one God. I'm going to hem us all in again. Only one faith in one God. And that same faith that saves you is the faith that heals you. The faith that saves you is the faith that gives you victory. The faith that saves you is the faith that answers your prayer. There's only one faith in one God.
Amen.
So I've already mixed prayer and faith. Now there's another thing. Today we've forgotten and we never use the term praying through. We just won't use it. Praying through. I had a huge tent in, I think it was Beaumont, Texas. And on a Sunday afternoon, a dear Grandma Mitchell, I'd never met her this time, and there were many people there, but in the big audience, she stood and she was an older woman. And, oh boy, was this of God. And she started poetically in prophecy. It was a poem in prophecy of praying through. I took that and I later wrote it, asking God to help me about praying through. And he says things like this: I am very pleased, child, with the little things you do, but I'm still waiting for you to pray through. And there's so much to be done and so forth and so on, and but it'll never happen until we pray through. One time, Oral Roberts spoke on this in one of his crusades, just briefly. He said, you know, I believe sometimes some of us need to pray through. One of the fellows traveling with him that I knew locked himself in one of the vans the next day. Locked himself in one of those big highway vans that they carried the tent and all in. And they noticed, they heard someone hitting on the sides of that metal and running and stomping and all. He is in there all day long. He's one of the fellows. But he came out with the power of God on him. He had prayed through. So in my church in Ohio many years ago, a large mega church, I mentioned praying through. A fellow worked on the railroad. And it was scrap. Something to do with the scrap of the railroad they bring in. But it's still the railroad. And these fellows were rough. They were awful men. So during the lunch hour, he climbed up in one of the boxcars and he closed the door. And he thought, I'm not going to eat lunch, but I'm going to put that to test what Clem said about praying through. And he got on his knees, and before long, he is screaming and yelling and bouncing around and stomping and going and hitting the sides of that boxcar and shouting. And finally, he looked at his watch and said, oh, lunch hour's already over. And he thought, boy, I'm going to get it now. These rough guys, if any of them knew I was in there praying, well, all of them knew it. And he slowly opened the boxcar door. And when he did, they're all standing. And he leaped out. He was ready to take them. You know what? All of them looked at him and said, you were praying, weren't you? He said, yeah, I prayed. He thought, boy, here it comes. One said, you know, John, do you think that'd help me if I'd do that?
Right, sanctuary. And every one of them were impressed. I said, more? Maybe that's not for me, but boy, more power to you, they say. Some of us need to pray through on situations. Now, let me tell you something else. The devil is a liar, Jesus said. He's a father of liars. That's what Jesus said. It said in the Bible that Michael, the archangel, didn't bring a rally and accusation against the devil about the body of Moses, but just said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." Now, you may not have any respect at all for the devil. I don't have any respect that way at all, because of who he is and what he does. But I'm just not stamping the devil under my feet every moment. I'm a little careful what I say because I don't want any unnecessary battles. I want the real battles, the real fight. I don't want to fight any unnecessary wars at all. But here, the devil, he does trespass, and whom he can't possess, he'll try to oppress. So Satan goes around trying to hinder our prayer life, trying to hinder our faith, and all God wants to do is to have a church that Christ purchased with his own precious blood, and that church without spot of sin, without wrinkle of negligence, holy. The Bible said holy and without blemish, complete in Jesus' name. So, I'm sorry I lost my last thought there about the devil. If someone can help me. But Satan is a liar. Jesus called him a liar. And he is a robber. And he will steal everything he said. But Jesus said, but he comes forth, but only to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, if that's true, then everything in my life that's destroying me, killing me, and robbing me is not of God. It's of the devil. Lord, may the healing streams of Calvary flow through this place this morning. May people be healed in this place that didn't even recognize it right now. Oh, God, remember that little lady that I slipped over to at the end of a service and said, "Jesus heals you now." Never ask her affliction. And she had that bad heart affliction. The next day she's doing housework and running up and down stairs. Lord, thou art the same. My God, we're unworthy. We're unworthy to be saved. We're unworthy, but I just pray, not our worthiness, but the worthiness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the resurrection of life and healing streams of Calvary come into us and flow through our mortal bodies from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have a need, if you have a need in your body, stand right now where you're at. And we're just very simply going to declare that the Holy Spirit will touch you. We're not going to beg the Lord for anything. We just declare that you are healed in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have heard the reasons why and why not. And I personally am going to accept all the whys. I've had a need in my body for quite a long time. And it's quite evident that from the ones that are standing, that there's needs in the body. This day and this moment, you are healed in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a minister of the Word, it is declared. Clement has showed us the way. Accept it, my brothers and sisters. Accept it in the power and in the love that it's given. And all you need to do now, and all I need to do, is continually praise the Lord for the healing. Thanking and praising, for the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And I need more habitation of the Lord. I need to be closer each moment. And I'm going to dedicate myself to that from this moment forward. And join with me if you would. Now let's all stand and we'll... I don't say we're going to pray a benediction, We're going to pray a beginning. Father, we do just praise Your holy name. And Father, we come into Your courtrooms with thanksgiving and praise. And Father, we thank You for many answered prayers in the past. And Father, what we have received this morning has been pure manna from heaven. We thank You for the feeding that You have given us, Lord, and for the revelation. And Father, for the rhema word that has come forth, that has touched our lives and our hearts and our spirits. Father, we're so grateful that You have a servant that discerns Your word and is not afraid to bring forth the truth of the word. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for the time that we've had in Your word this morning and being together here. Lord, we ask You to go with us the rest of the day in whatever it is that we do. And Father, as we go forth this week and in the future, Lord, we ask that You put people in front of us that we may be a witness to say Jesus loves You. And Father, we love You. We ask for Your blessings as we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.